Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Relationship Wednesdays. I'm Dr. Nefertiti Noel.
And I am Darren Noel.
We are here this evening just to talk to you again about relationships. Let me give you just a little bit of information about who I am. My name is Dr. Nefertiti Noel, and I run a full-service behavioral health practice that includes life coaching, medication management, all types of therapies, and life coaching in Naperville, Illinois. And Darren?
My background is in corporate America. I do career counseling and life coaching at Noel & Associates in Naperville.
Good stuff. We are both really committed to helping people strengthen their relationships in every area. And I think one of the big mistakes that people make is not realizing that every interaction that they have with someone is a relational interaction. And almost everyone that we know we're in some type of relationship with. So we're either someone's daughter, wife, mother, sister, aunt, friend, coworker, classmate, you know, all those different things. And I think it's really important to help people get a hold and an understanding of who they are in each of those relationships. And sometimes our roles in a relationship can be very different based on how we know that person and, you know, and what's going on in our lives with that person. So today, if you have any questions or comments that you want to make, call our guest call-in number at 323-693-3835. Again, 323-693-3835, and press the number 1 if you have a question. If you have a question, then we will come online. We will call you out by the last 4 digits of your telephone number and go ahead and let you speak your question or comment on the air. So today's topic is God relevant in our relationships? So, Darren, I'm going to let you get started with that.
Yes, definitely. We have a lot of different types of relationships we want to talk about today. And they're relevant, we look at them, is God relevant in these relationships? Let's start off with friendship. As you start off with a friendship, is God relevant in a friendship? I say yes, absolutely. Because as you're building your friendships, you want to understand if people have respect for your beliefs and do you have respect for their beliefs. Because obviously, as you grow up, you have friends, you know, you may not believe exactly the same thing as the people you're in friendship with. But do they have a general respect for you? Do they respect your ideas of what you believe is right and wrong? Do they have respect for what you say you won't do and things that you will do? Okay, do they have that respect? And are they open to willing to listen to you express those beliefs to them? And are you open and willing to listen to what their beliefs are? Hey, you know what? I don't eat this. I don't go certain places. I don't believe in sex before marriage. I believe I need to go to church on a weekly basis. Whatever the case may be, are you open to listening to their beliefs, and are they open to listening to your beliefs? I think that's important.
Yeah, I think what's really interesting is that I think friends are probably one of the first places that we learn our religious ground. Like, so if you believe a certain thing, I think your friendships are the first place that you try those things out with. I mean, I can remember middle school and high school where people would sit down and talk about God. Like, I had a friend that was a Seventh-day Adventist, and I was like, well, what does that mean? And, you know, tell me all about that. I had friends that were Catholic, then I had friends that were Muslim, and they talked to me about their different religious beliefs. And we would actually argue, not in a negative sense, but just kind of argue our facts with one another and brush up with each other kind of our thought processes. And it did give me an understanding of where people stood with things. So, like, I knew, for example, certain of my friends, if someone told me that they had stole something from me, I just wouldn't believe it because I understood what they believed, like, you know, religiously.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that respect comes in. You may not agree with what they're saying, mm-hmm. if they believe it, but you have respect for it. For example, let me give an example. If you're ordering lunch for your group, for some friends, right, and you know one of your friends doesn't eat pork for whatever religion they are, guess what? You say, well, I respect that belief. I'm going to order some pizza that doesn't have pork on it so they can participate in the lunch and not be offended. I'm not going to have everything with pork on it because I know they don't eat that. Why? I respect their beliefs. That's what we're talking about from a friendship type situation.
I think it also makes a difference in, so if it's one of my girlfriend's wedding showers or something of that nature, and I'm planning with a group of her friends what we can do for fun, and somebody says, listen, let's get a stripper. If I already know where she stands on those things, I know if I should or shouldn't do that, or at least if I should make a comment that says, hey, from the perspective that I know Susie Snowflake, that may or may not be something she'd be interested in.
Absolutely. Or we want to go out to a certain event. We have some flexibility on the date we choose, but guess what? we know that person goes to church every Sunday, so we're not going to put the event on Sunday where they're going to be offended. Or I know they go to church every Saturday, I'm not going to put the event on Saturday so they can't participate. So you may or may not believe what they have believed, but you respect in them, you have respect for them and allow some flexibility in relationships so you can have that friendship with them.
Absolutely. What are some other areas that we have to consider?
Okay. Also, you know, I also stick with friendships a little more. Also, do people tend to curb their behaviors around you based on their knowledge of your beliefs? Because they know you don't really like cursing, right? Somebody is, you know, I really don't get into cursing. So guess what? They may be a cursor, but guess what? They don't curse around you. Or they may do a lot of drinking, but, you know, for whatever reason, you're not a big drinker. You're talking about the friendship. But guess what? They don't bring that around you. You know, oh, I'm going to be around Jim today, so I'm going to leave my alcohol at home. I'm going to curb that behavior around them.
What about the opposite of that? Sometimes when you have friends that don't necessarily have a religious belief, do you see people praying less around them over their food or doing different things like changing their behavior on the opposite end of that shit?
So you mean if somebody is a prayer or something like that, they'll change when they're around that person? Is that what you mean?
Correct.
I guess it's what you don't want to do is change the core from a religious to the religious standpoint, the right or wrong. You don't want to change that. So if you believe that you need to pray before your meal, that's a serious thing that you believe as part of your foundation, you don't want to change that when you're around your friends. But if you're around your friends and you know they're not religious, you're not going to harass them in terms of talking about God every single time you're around them. You may change that.
But what about people that feel like, hey, I want my friends? Because in general, people believe in God because they want salvation of some sort, right? And every religion has their difference on what that salvation is. But what if you're really concerned about your friend's salvation and they're like, well, I don't like it when you pray over dinner. And you're like, but listen, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, then you won't make it like into eternal life. What about that?
Well, I'm not praying in front of my food so I can try and convert you. I'm praying because over my food because it's something I believe in. I think it's my part of my core value that I need to do.
But a lot of people do kind of do their prayers and stuff so other people can see it, right?
I guess that's the prayer. I can't answer for those people why they do that. But to me, that's something that's core to you. I don't have a problem you not changing that.
Okay.
But if you're out to the movies and you're going out, hey, I want to talk to you about God, even though I know that's not really what you're about. There's a time and place for everything. You know what? That's probably the time I can put that to the back burner, if that's what your belief is.
Okay. Well, before we get to other relationships, I have a question that came in over email concerning friendships and God. So I'm going to read it.
Sure.
It says, my best friend and I get along great, but she has recently become more religious, almost judgmental. We believe in the same things, but I feel like if I don't act a certain way, she gets upset. How do I approach this topic with her without spoiling the friendship? I'm going to read the question one more time. It says, my best friend and I get along great, but she has recently become more religious, almost judgmental. We believe in the same things, but I feel like if I don't act a certain way, she gets upset. How do I approach this topic with her without spoiling the friendship?
It might be, well, you already said it's your best friend, so you guys have some communication and feel should be pretty close enough to have open and honest communication. I come out with, hey, I see a change in you recently. You seem to be turning more religious and almost to the side of a little bit judgmental. I see something like that. Hey, what's going on? Can you tell me what's going on with you? I see a change in you. What's going on? And let them respond and tell them what's going on in their life.
Mm-hmm. See, that's one way to do it. I think that's a great example. That's kind of a soft start. There's my option might be for you is to maybe not bring it up so much right now. Because I think that we have to give our friends space to develop into who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And your friend may just sort of be strengthening that muscle, that part of her identity. And if it's judgmental, like, I mean, I can get that part that you feel like maybe if you don't pray every time you eat, she gets angry or something like that. You might want to jokingly say, hey, you know, it's all right if you pray, but it's also all right if I choose not to, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't want to spoil the friendship, and if you are best friends, one, you should be able to have open communication.
Right, exactly. I mean, by putting that in, that you're a best friend, you just let it go, right?
Unless she is your best friend and you're not hers. I mean, sometimes we don't always talk close to someone. But I'm going to take it on face value that you're best friends.
Right.
If you are best friends, then you should definitely be able to communicate these concerns with her.
Yeah, I agree.
In an open, calm fashion. And I don't know if judgmental, because you say you believe the same thing. Is it judgmental, or are you feeling bad because you think you should be doing more? I mean, that's something you should also explore, too, because you have a right to practice religion however you want to. So I don't think you need to be forced into doing anything differently, but definitely try to give her some space to grow. And if that takes too long for you, then maybe have that conversation.
And because, again, you never really know what's going on with her. It could be she's trying to increase her faith and going further that way, or maybe she's feeling bad internally about something that she did. A lot of times people turn judgmental when they've done something wrong, right? They're off. And, you know, they try and find fault with other people because they've done something wrong that they don't really want to get out, or
right,
whatever the case may be. So you really don't know what's going on with that person. Best way, if you really want to know, is to ask.
Absolutely. The other thing is, I'm also going to say that sometimes people, when they're going through a tough time, maybe something's happened in her family that she's not telling you.
Sure.
They also tend to lean a little bit harder on their religious belief system. So
yep.
I don't want that to be a negative for her or for you, but definitely perception is important. If you're perceiving that she's judging you, having that conversation, and maybe that's the way you approach it. Hey, listen, this is not normally you, but I really feel like I'm being judged. Is everything okay? Maybe having that conversation.
Yep.
All right, Darren,
okay.
You have more?
Yeah, the next one, let's take a look at as you start to do dating, you start to move into dating relationship. God's going to have a role in that in terms of how you look at the different roles of male and female in that relationship, what the role of the man is, what the role of the woman is. Big one, obviously, is the decision to have sex before marriage or not to have sex before marriage. That's probably one of the biggest ones, okay, that couples have to come to some kind of understanding about based on their relationship with God and his relevance in their relationship. Hey, are we going to wait to take that step until we decide we're actually going to get married and get married and say I do's and then take that step, or we're going to do it before that? That's a big decision that's going to come up with there. Also, I thought about in the dating relationship is the role of the parents. You know, are they willing to say, you know what, I want to get my parents' approval on this relationship as I see it getting more and more serious. You know what? We're thinking about getting married. We're talking about getting married. I need to have my parents come and check this person out and give the okay. That could be somebody's view of God or relationship, and that's a role of a parent. Their belief in the parent has that role in the dating relationship, and they want to get that blessing. Some people may have that.
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest things that religion, what role God plays in relationships, is setting boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So in our intimate relationship, if we're able to sit down and have conversations and have an understanding where each of us is coming from our God belief standpoint, that'll help have some better boundaries on what should and should not be done in a relationship. So that's even whether it's sex, that's whether it's like, I know people that when they're engaged won't sleep in the same bedroom because they don't want people to perceive that something's going on.
Sure.
I know other people that live together. So it's just a matter of where you lie and where you sit with the boundaries that your religious group has.
Absolutely. That's definitely going to direct what's for you, what's right, what's wrong.
And sometimes it even directs who you date, because I know lots of people that won't date someone that doesn't believe like exactly what they believe.
Absolutely.
And I know other people that figure, hey, that doesn't matter to me as long as they're a good person. So, I mean, I think that this is some of the conversations that people need to have when they're dating up front, is about belief systems and where they stand with their belief system.
Absolutely. Let people know where you stand. You know, hey, this is what I believe. This is who I am. I'm looking for somebody who has these same beliefs, or I'm open. Let people know where you're standing, what you're looking for.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of times people don't discuss this stuff up front, so it ends up becoming a problem on the back end.
Absolutely. These are, as we talked about a couple of shows, kind of the interviewing process, things of that nature, so crucial before you get too involved in the relationship. Do it up front so you know what you're getting involved in. They know what they're getting involved in. Or you can decide up front, well, you know what, this is not going to work. No need to put a whole bunch of time into it. We can just cut bait right there and move on, go our separate ways.
Absolutely. I have a couple of dating questions that people called in about. So one says, I'm angry with my boyfriend because he forced me to move in with him before we were married. I'm ashamed of this. My family, especially my parents, keep forcing the topic of marriage. What should I do? I want to leave, but I feel like I have put so much in the relationship that I can't leave.
Well, can I
jump in? I just want to jump in real quick. I don't understand the word force, like how he forced you to move in with him. I think a move-in situation is a group decision, and each of you all had to play a role in that decision. So I kind of want to take away the idea that he forced you, unless, I mean, he put a gun to your head and was like, listen, you got to move in with me or else. Like, I've never really heard of the force. Now, sometimes I think people move in together because economically it makes much better sense.
Well, it could be a situation, move in with me, I'm going to break up with you.
Right, so then break up.
That could be right. I mean, that could be what she means by force.
It could be. I just want to clarify that
right.
I wish I had more information on what the force meant. I wish I had more information on what the force meant. The other thing is, just because you put a long time into something that you consider a bad situation, because you said, I want to leave.
Right.
So you start off with, I was forced to move in, then I want to leave, and then the third issue is parents are kind of forcing the issue of marriage. So I feel like if you want to go, go.
Right.
I mean, if you already haven't made the level of commitment of marriage, and that's maybe a different show. Like, some people talk to me about, well, I'm as committed as anybody else. We just don't have a marriage license. But if you're making commitment on the fact that you don't have the marriage license and you feel like you've wasted some time, there is no reason to waste additional time.
Absolutely. And you can move out without breaking up. You know, maybe that's what the forcing is. But if you said you already put the time in, because guess what? I'm going to move out. We can still continue a relationship, but I'm not going to live here anymore. I'm going to move back to my place, move back to my parents, wherever she was coming from before.
Absolutely. I think one thing in relationships, no matter who we are, whether it's friendships or work relationships or intimate relationships, sometimes we feel like we lose our autonomy, our right to make some decisions for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you are a part of a coupleship does not mean that you have to make bad decisions for yourself all the time.
Absolutely.
So if staying with him is a bad decision for you, in your opinion, then get your finances together, if that's a piece of it. It sounds like your parents want you to be married, so it sounds like they would let you live with them maybe in the interim if it's not financially, you know, sound for you to go now. But if you haven't made the mistake of marrying somebody, you talk about you're ashamed, you feel forced, you want to leave, then go. Don't be ashamed. Don't say, well, I put 7, 8, 9 years into it, so I have to get a payout. It may not be a payout.
Right.
You may have nothing coming.
And you don't want to spend any more time and still not get the payout.
Correct. And then leaving him may give you the opportunity to find the right person if he's not the right person.
Absolutely.
I mean, and I think there's a lot of people move in together with the idea of let's try each other out and see what's going to happen. But a lot of times it doesn't work that way because a lot of folks feel so much shame associated with living together that it just sort of puts a negative cloud on the relationship. And then apparently your parents are not feeling good about it because you're saying they're trying to force you into marriage. And I don't think anyone should be forced into marriage. It's not a gunshot situation where you have to have a gun to your head. If you have to have a gun to your head to get married, you probably should not do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless there's some, like, really real situation that you have to get married for. But if you stay with me or we're broken up, then move out and see where the relationship goes because no one person has total control of their relationship. It should be a compromising situation.
Yep, that's good.
So, okay, I'm sorry, you're talking about relationships.
Yeah, do you have another one on dating or not dating?
I did have another one on dating. This one says, my fiance recently ended our engagement and told me it was because I'm not religious. I've gone to church with her, but it's not my cup of tea. I was never super religious, and I don't understand why it has become an issue now. Please help. I'll read it one more time.
Mm-hmm.
My fiance recently ended our engagement and told me it was because I'm not religious. I've gone to church with her, but it's not my cup of tea. I was never super religious, and I don't understand why it has become an issue now. Please help.
I would say it's probably always someone the issue was older or someone she was always watching out for. So she wanted to see, in my opinion, wanted to see if you were going to catch on and I guess doing her faith as much as she had belief or whatever she was believing. But once she saw that it wasn't your cup of tea and you wasn't going to fully swing over to what she was looking for, she decided to call it quits at that point in time. But in my opinion, based on what I'm reading, what you're reading to me, it seemed like it was always something that she was concerned about throughout the whole relationship.
Yeah. It sounds to me like she thought it would be okay, that it was not going to be as big of a deal as it is. But when you talk about marriage, you talk about handling finances together, possibly having children together, handling illnesses together, like all those things. And a lot of times if people are not on equal playing field in what they believe, there's lots of differences in how they play out decision-making. And I think when a person believes that you're not at the same level they are religiously or don't believe the same thing, they could be afraid that the decisions that you or they will make will constantly be kind of in flux with one another and be clashing with one another.
I mean, marriage is huge, actually. Obviously, with God, we've all been in that relationship. We're going to talk about you from dating, the roles of male and female in a relationship, but also the ideas of divorce. What's the person's idea of going into the marriage about divorce? You know, there is no such thing as divorce for their beliefs, or divorce only in the case of adultery, or you know what, if we can't get along, we're going to call it quits. You know, that has an impact on people. How you raise your children, okay? And when you get into a marriage situation and having children, what's your thought on disciplining and punishment for children? How are you going to teach your children, you know, where they came from? Are you teaching them evolution? Are you teaching them creation? Your view of the world, how are you teaching your children, you know, this God is in control, he's got a master plan, or, you know what, there is no master plan, whatever's right for you is right. You know, all these kind of things go into it, into that relationship, and people have to think about it. That's all relevant to the relationship. We're talking about marriage right here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Even when you talk about, like, how to discipline children, there's a difference between people that have religious beliefs and people that don't. Like, how do you discipline your child?
Absolutely.
And then I just looked at some statistics on a website called crosswalk.com,
mm-hmm.
and it says that many people who seriously practice a traditional religious faith, be it Christian or otherwise, have a divorce rate markedly lower than the general population. It says that the factor making the most difference is religious commitment and practice. Couples who regularly practice any combination of serious religious behaviors and attitudes, so they kind of list it as attend church nearly every week, read their Bible and spiritual materials regularly, pray privately and together, generally take their faith seriously, living not as perfect, you know, people, but kind of really enjoying what they do religiously, enjoy a lower divorce rate than people that just show up to church and say that they're believers. So, I mean, so this shows that people that believe anything consistently together tend to have a lower risk of divorce rate. And I know right now the divorce rate in the United States is still 50% of first marriages end in divorce.
Mm.
50%. So if I look at the people that got married, Darren and I's friends, that got married around the same time that we got married, I'm going to tell you at least 70% of those people are divorced now.
Mm. Mm.
So that's a huge number. And if you look at kind of the things that happen in marriages, finances, like who could have predicted like there was going to be a home market crash and people's houses were going to be upside down and people were going to be losing their jobs. You have to have, or I feel like you have to have, I can't say what you have to have, I feel like you have to have something bigger than yourself to believe in. I have to believe that, okay, something horrible happened, but God has a master plan, so there must be something better going on. And a lot of times when I do therapy with couples, the couples that have, like, a master plan thought in their head that God has something better for them, whether it's Christians, Muslims, Hindi, whatever people are believing, if they can believe that together, they can keep themselves motivated and kind of in place. And that's not to say that there's couples out there that don't have a religious belief that aren't going to survive their marriages. So I'm not going to be grim and dim and the grim reaper, but I'm just talking about what statistics are showing as far as people being more or less likely to divorce.
Yes, definitely. Most of the religions look negatively upon divorce, right? I mean,
right.
In general.
But again, so here we go with guidelines again, that a lot of times religion gives a group of folks a moral code that they can live by.
Mm-hmm.
So that also means that, like, your friends can check you, or so if I'm out with a girlfriend and she is flirting with someone and I know that we believe the same thing, I'm probably not going to say anything to her husband, but I might say to her, hey, girlfriend, is everything okay? I kind of saw some strange behavior. Like, I might be more able to correct her because we believe the same set of values, so she may be able to hear what I have to say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The same thing that goes for in a marriage relationship. You know what? We're disagreeing, but hey, let's see what our God says about this. Okay?
Right.
Oh.
It's even the same thing like when you have kids. I have so many patients that come to me, clients that come to me, teenagers who were arrested shoplifting. They say, well, I'm not a thief stock in the world, but I was with my friend, and she was putting stuff in her pocket, and so I put stuff in my pocket too, and now I'm in this situation, right? But if you're hanging with a group of friends that are like-minded and serious about it, because, you know, I mean, I was also a kid, and I went to church all the time, and I believe, but that doesn't mean I'm always going to do the right thing, but at least I had a set of values that I thought that I could sort of rely on.
Yes.
So this is the role that I think for many people God can play. And then a lot of people say to me, Dr. Noel, I'm a good person, and I don't believe in God, and I don't have to believe in God. And that's the beautiful thing about the USA. We can each practice our beliefs the way we want to. But I do like the idea of having some governing rules on our relationships that help us decide what the right thing is to do. Like, for example, I went to a big department store the other day, and, I'm shopping with my 2.8-year-old, and she is putting stuff in the cart. So everything gets taken out of the cart. Everything gets rang up. And when I get to the car, I see, like, some item wedged between, like, the side of the cart and the bottom of the side or something like that I didn't pay for. I took it back because my belief system is I'm not supposed to steal it. If I didn't pay for it, I stole for it. I stole it. You know what I mean? So even things like that kind of govern me because I'm thinking in the back of my head, I gotta get her back in the car, take the stuff back in, and let these folks know that it didn't get paid for. So things like that kind of help govern some of even the smaller kind of decisions that I might not have thought about when I was 15. I might have thought, hey, you know, great job. I got myself an extra item. But I take it seriously at this age, and I realize that I shouldn't do those kinds of things.
But how challenging would it be if you had someone who in that same situation, found in the same situation, but they were married or dating somebody who had the exact opposite belief? Hey, what's the big deal? You got it. Let's keep it. So now you're in an internal battle. Now the person you're dating or married to is saying, you know what, I don't have a problem with what happened. It was an accident. We have a free product. Let's keep it. But now you're going to feel internally torn. Wait a minute. I can't do this. And now you guys could have some friction in that relationship over that.
And it seems like a small thing, but add into that a kid, right?
Right.
So I've got my 2-year-old looking in the car like, hey, what should I do with this item? And my first words were, I'm just getting here. We got to take this back. Because I don't want her to think that, oh, I can just, if I want to pick something up, I can just go ahead and take it. And it's cool because mommy doesn't care. So if mommy doesn't care, then it makes it okay. So it kind of trickles from top down that we all have to sort of be in the same thought process for me to teach my kids what I believe. And I think for the guy that's talking about his fiance left because of religious things, I think that could be some of what she's thinking. Listen, what's the trickle-down effect of we're not believing in things? Or what's the trickle-down effect? Because I know lots of people that don't believe. They feel like if you believe in God that you're believing in something not real. They don't want to teach their kids to believe in fake things. And so they get in arguments with their spouse. Hey, I'm not a believer. You are. So which one of us gets to lead the kids and tell the kids what to do?
That's a very big thing.
I mean, that's a huge thing. And so I think that these are serious things to consider when you're dating someone or even if you're just friends with someone. But how many times have we cut on the news and we see, like we recently saw two friends rape a young girl in Ohio. Mm-hmm. Those were two friends together. What if one of them was able to say, listen, this doesn't fit with our moral code. We shouldn't do this. We never would have saw that story on the news.
Mm-hmm.
Or how many times have we seen people that go, hey, like again, I cannot tell you the hundreds of kids, maybe thousands of kids I see a year, who one kid is like, I'm not a thief, I shouldn't have done that. And their friend is like, what's the big deal? So you lifted a pair of earrings. This store makes lots of money. What's the big deal about us taking a 50-cent pair of earrings? Then the other girl's feeling conflicted and convicted by the behavior, but still wants to be friends with that friend of hers. So that also produces a stressor.
Absolutely. That's one of some things you got to realize. When someone's not respecting your belief, hey, you can do whatever you want. Don't do it around me or when I'm around, right? Okay, so they're not respecting that. It could bring you into a situation where you don't want to be. And, hey, you know, how many times do you have people was good kids, but they happen to be hanging around with some not so good kids or bad kids. When that bad kid decided to do something bad, and now that good so-called good kid got caught up in it.
So I just want to intervene. Good and bad kids. I don't know about bad kids, but bad. So I'm going to be careful that I'm not calling somebody's kid bad, but that we're talking about doing behaviors that folks would consider less than desirable.
Interesting. Yeah.
So we had another question. We got just a few seconds. It says, the writer says, a coworker keeps talking to me about God at work. I want her to stop. Is this considered harassment?
Absolutely. Just like the sexual harassment, once you tell that person you're not interested in it, they need to back off. Once you let that person know you're not interested in hearing about that, their religion, stuff like that, they need to back off. And if they're not doing that, go ahead and touch base with a human resource. That's an option for you.
Okay, very good. And so there's other questions that people have, and I know that we have not covered every bit of the topic of is God relevant in our relationship, but this is really a conversation that I want you guys to have with yourself so you can make a decision about what's appropriate in your relationship and what's not. And no matter what we believe, all of us have rules in our relationships. So it's important for you to be thinking about is having God a part of your relationship. What are the rules that you want to stand by? So thanks for tuning in. We'll be in the same place next week, same time, same place, different topic. Nice talking to everybody. Have a great day.
Make it a great week.